with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy Show.
That's right. You are listening to Grilling Guys each and every Saturday on the Michigan Talk Network. We're having a great time today. It's October 20th, and it is the time to get out and get in the field, do your pheasant hunting, do your deer hunting. There's a great Michigan-Michigan State game today. There's a lot going on out there. It's a great day to be in Michigan.
It's great. It's just great.
You sound like an Irish cop for crying out loud.
Well, until I got interrupted, I was on a roll. But anyway, I'm Jop, and that's Bob the Interrupter. What's cooking, Bob?
And we're in studio with Enormous, our producer. So, too bad we couldn't be grilling right now. I mean, I really hate being in the studio. I just want to say that. It just, on a day like today, is something wrong with that. But we're going to make do, and we're going to get out of here, and we're going to go tear it up somewhere today. You got a tailgate party going on this afternoon, Jop?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to head over to one and be the guest cook at just some friend's house. We're going to watch the game on TV, and we weren't fortunate enough to have tickets to the big house. So we're going to get together, 6-8 couples, and I'm just going to throw down a bunch of treats on the grill. Going to make a bacon explosion. Got some jalapeno poppers cooking. So really looking forward to this afternoon.
So Michigan's favored by 10, huh?
That's what I heard. Yep.
Man, that hurts.
Yeah, it does. I know, especially if you're Sparty like I am.
Yeah, that's right.
Brian's got his Michigan shirt on, so it's a good thing I'm sitting across the room from him. But anyway, Brian, let's talk a little bit about the Detroit Tigers,
that's
man.
That's right. Who would have thought they'd still be playing on October 20th?
Yeah, you're exactly right.
After the summer they had, up and down roller coaster.
Telling you.
You know, complaining about Leland's managing tactics, but they find a way, even though it's probably the worst division in baseball. 88 wins gets you into the postseason.
I'll tell you, I think one of the maybe somewhat unsung heroes is Scherzer.
Max Scherzer, absolutely.
He came through in that second.
Did you guys hear the story earlier in the summer about his brother, his younger brother, committing suicide, passing away?
What a horrible thing.
I think that really, you know, sunk into him, and he really took off from there. He's playing for his brother.
That's a great story. Yeah.
It's a great story. Did you guys watch the celebration after game four there for a little bit?
Yeah.
It was very heartwarming. That's just the Tigers are a big family.
Yeah.
And it's all thanks to owner Mike Ilitch. You know, he creates that family atmosphere, and they all play for one another. And it's just a great feeling to have the Tigers back in the World Series after 6 years.
He is truly the godfather of Detroit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I was appreciative of Leland. I'm one of his naysayers throughout the season, like a lot of guys are. But I was appreciative of him. It's tough for me to say.
It's women queen.
Yeah. to put Coke back in to finish the game.
Right.
Against the Yankees, it was just kind of poetic justice.
Absolutely.
You know, and he'd been one of the earlier games and brought a close in, so they put him in the fourth game.
He got to stick it out.
We didn't need Valverde after the first game. He gave us all a heart attack, allowing two home runs there.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see if he gets his act together for the World Series, how much they use him. You know, it depends on who we play, because the NLCS is still going on. So.
Right. Headed back to San Francisco, right, for game, what is it,
game
six?
Game six, yeah, on Sunday, and then game seven.
It'd be kind of nice
if
St. Louis could wrap this up in the next game so we don't have too long a break.
Exactly. And my worry is about the rust factor. Obviously, in 2006, we had a week off. We swept the Oakland Athletics, and we played the Cardinals in the World Series, and that week off killed us. We couldn't hit, couldn't pitch. We were very nervous, and we lost in five games. So, yeah, I would like it to see a Cardinals rematch from 06. I want to get my revenge on those guys. You know, they're the reigning World Series champions. Why not? Go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, we're always talking about tailgating, and I'm still always a bit amazed that there's really not much tailgating at baseball.
Right.
What is the deal with that? It just it doesn't work somehow, and it's the perfect time of the year to get a grill out.
Well,
we
summer
gotta start
And here's the other thing about baseball. You got like 80 opportunities
right.
across the summer. They play right. every day.
Right.
And you'd think that somebody'd throw down a tailgate once in a while.
So next year, maybe we get that thing going.
Yeah.
You know, get the
set a trend.
The problem is with these baseball stadiums, I've been to about three different baseball stadiums. They're located. You look at Comerica Park.
Terrible parking.
It's terrible parking. The parking's all over downtown. Yeah. There is no one set area like the Big House or Spartan Stadium where you have one giant parking
like
lot.
Like Green Bay.
And Green Bay. Green Bay is a perfect example, a professional sports team that, you know, has their parking lot.
They encourage alcoholics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, downtown parking, you can't get together as one and just tailgate.
Right.
It's impossible.
And that might be it. You know, that might be the issue. But it's still, I'm sure there's guys that do it.
Right.
It's just not as big of a deal as it is when it comes to football season. And
right.
I think you
might have
hit it right on the head there. It's the congregation of people can't get together in one spot and make it happen.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
cool.
I'm heading up to Ludington tomorrow morning. I got to be there at 8 o'clock to catch the Badger across to Manitowoc. And I'll be going right through Green Bay on my way up to see a guy named Babe Winkleman. Now, we're going to be trying out some recipes, me and Babe and his wife, Chris, actually. She is a phenomenal cook. You ever catch any of her cooking shows?
I have
She's all over the place.
Look for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Those two are really impressive, and I'm going to have a ton of fun. Hopefully bring back some good wild game recipes, but Babe will be on in the next segment, and we'll have to pick his brain for, I wonder what he's got for tailgating ideas, if he ever gets a chance to even get in a parking lot.
Oh, I'm sure he does, but he's probably brought in his limo and drives right through and goes to his box.
I'll bet you he's got a one-ton Dodge Ram.
Well, we'll ask him because we're fortunate enough to have him on the show coming up in the next segment. And we got a lot of things we want to talk about with him. But right now, let's talk a little bit about fall beers. Bob, what do you think? You know, these harvest time meals, they're bigger, they're more flavorful, they're a heartier meal. And you switch from those summer ales and those summer wheat beers and the fruitier beers, and you're moving into these porters and these scotch ales and things that are a little darker and a little heavier.
Last night had that scotch ale from New Holland.
Right.
Dragon's Mead.
Yep.
That was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Very tasty.
Yep, we were out and had a little dinner with the wives last night, and we're fortunate enough to try a few of these fall microbrewed beers. And, you know, I'm not a hoppy guy. We've talked about that over and over.
That's why your name is no longer Hoppy Joppy.
That's right.
We just dropped
that part. Yeah, absolutely. But my point is that all of these big, dark beers do not have to be IPAs, and an IPA is generally has a more bitter, more hoppy aftertaste in it. And Bob, you particularly like those.
A high IBU number,
right.
International Bitters Unit.
Right, and yep. Our friends at Founders Beer, they're another one, a nice brewery here in town. What I noticed about them is they put the IBUs on their bottle. So, guys, if you're looking at a bottle, you know, microbrews can be overwhelming. You stand there in front of the window at your favorite beer store, and there's, you know what, you get drawn to the cool box or the cool label, and you really don't know. There's so many varieties. We're so lucky to have that.
Yeah.
But one of the ways that you can look at to try to discern and go from the hundreds down to a couple is look at this IBU number.
Yep.
Because the higher the number, the more hoppy the beer, the more is bitter the right term?
It's bitters.
Right, and the more bitter it is, if you like one of those that just bites you in the back of the throat, get a higher IBU number. But if you like me and you like them a little bit softer on the palate, then I go for the lower number. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, somewhere below 60.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a Miller Lite or a Bud Light type thing, which might have an IBU of like 10 on something like that.
You know what they do in those vats, don't you?
Yeah. But anyway,
just
a little tip. We're going to pick up on a little bit of wine in the next segment as well once we get done talking with Babe, because we're moving from the white wines to the red wines this time of year, and they pair up very well with wild game.
Yeah, and you know, something that we wanted to talk about too was porters. Porters this time of year, I mean, this is the perfect time for porters. I'll go heavier into stouts, colder weather, but this time of year when you start shifting gears, you get your Oktoberfests and all your Malbecs or different darker things like that. Porter, man, it's got a wonderful profile.
Coming up next, we've got Babe Winkleman. He's going to walk us through the rut and the difference between a scrape and a rub. You're not going to want to miss this one. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network. Stick with us, baby.
The Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.